T-Mobile is pushing price lifts on legacy plans for about 8 million customers, while new network scorecards gave Verizon fresh wins. And earnings land July 23rd.
I'm Alex. What changed? Customers on Simple Choice, One, Magenta, and Legacy Sprint are being moved to new experience tiers ahead of July 13th. Roughly half see no change. The rest face up to $6 extra per voice line per month. About $6 for 5G home internet, and $3 more for watches and tablets. TD Cowen pegs about $288 million in annual revenue if pricing sticks.
Blowback is real. FCC and state AG complaints cite prior promises like, we won't raise your internet rate, ever. T-Mobile's counter is a new 5-year price guarantee, and the line, where we've committed to not raising prices, those prices are not being adjusted. At least one FCC complaint requires a written T-Mobile response by July 31st. And plaintiffs argue bold price lock claims override fine print.
The bullish case says a $6 hike is still below AT&T and Verizon front book pricing. So relative value holds and churn stays low. I worry about brand trust. If never becomes 5 years, that's reputational debt.
Home internet and older wireless cohorts anchored on ever guarantees. Model credits or grandfathering that shave the $288 million. Signals to watch. Complaint volume, July-August churn ticks, and whether T-Mobile narrows guarantee language after NAD scrutiny in 2024.
Does the P&L need this now? Previews put Q2 revenue at $22.95 billion, up 8.6% year-over-year, but EPS at $2.61, down about 8.1% versus $2.84. Estimates moved up 0.8% over 30 days and down 1.5% over 90.
Free cash flow remains robust in investor communications. Double-digit billions in 2024 and multi-year targets in the tens of billions, supporting buybacks while spectrum spending continues. But if EPS keeps decoupling from revenue, buyback math weakens.
Spectrum. The FCC approved a $2.9 billion swap with Grain Management. T-Mobile adds 600 MHz coverage and sheds less usable 800 MHz licenses. That's reach and indoor penetration, not a CapEx holiday. The cash algorithm still needs steady postpaid growth, low churn, and disciplined promotions. Small positive. T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon settled certain wireless patent suits, trimming legal overhang.
Network narrative next. Ookla's first half 2026 report gave Verizon best 5G experience and most reliable 5G. And all three, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, tied for fastest 5G. T-Mobile still leads 5G availability at 96.1% versus Verizon at 89% and AT&T at 88.2%. RootMetrics similarly handed more national, state, and metro awards to Verizon. T-Mobile notched speed-related wins but slipped to third in video performance.
That matters for enterprise. SLAs and RFPs hinge on responsiveness and consistent video throughput for field apps and collaboration. If video performance dipped, does that dent the B2B push we praised?
It raises the proof bar. T-Mobile points to breadth, that 96.1% availability, and bets on 5G slicing and autonomous networking. They've stood up more than 20 slices for use cases like public safety and consolidated the CTO organization to tighten tech-to-market cycles. If they translate that to SLA metrics and bids, the enterprise story holds.
I'm still skeptical that video and responsiveness gaps narrow by year end, and that the trust hit from migrations doesn't show up in Q3 churn.
Satellite noise is back too. Barron says T-Mobile will survive Starlink, and others say the market is mispricing satellite risk for wireless.
Who benefits?
T-Mobile hedges via its direct-to-device partnership with SpaceX's Starlink, treating satellite as a dead zone extender, not a core replacement. Physics and economics back that. LEO constellations fill rural gaps, not dense urban capacity. The 600 MHz swap strengthens low-band coverage on the ground. The open question is monetization. How and when satellite handoffs get packaged into premium tiers or enterprise contracts without eroding margins.
Pulling it together, we have enforced plan migrations that can lift ARPU, scorecards that hand Verizon fresh talking points, and an earnings print where revenue growth may meet EPS pressure. while buybacks, spectrum, and potential customer credits all compete for cash.
Which makes the next checkpoint simple. Watch postpaid phone net adds, churn, and ARPU on July 23. If ARPU lifts and churn holds near historic lows, the migration thesis works and the cash engine keeps buybacks plausible. If not, guidance or capital return likely softens.
The one big thing to watch now, whether T-Mobile converts those plan migrations into higher service revenue without a visible churn spike, while Verizon touts broader performance wins. Because if churn stays contained, T-Mobile keeps more pricing latitude than AT&T or Verizon can match.